We come to you this morning in the name of the resurrected Jesus. He is alive, and we praise him this morning. We praise you through the resurrection of Jesus this morning. We thank you that we get a chance to celebrate that today, to celebrate the life of Jesus, but not only the life of Jesus, but we get to celebrate the life that Jesus gave to us because he's alive. So we too are alive, and it feels good to be alive in the name of Jesus. And so we celebrate that this morning. Amen. Let's read a little bit. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb bringing the spices they had prepared. These are the ladies. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and they went in, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he is risen. We'll get to that in a minute. While they were confused about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. And so the women were terrified, and they bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee, saying, 'It is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and rise on the third day.' And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest, Mary Magdalene and Joanna. Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things, but the words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. And Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, and when he stooped to look in, he only saw the linen cloths, and so he went away amazed at what had happened." And I'm wondering if that truth still amazes us all these years later. It is pretty an amazing event in history, and we believe that it's true. Yes. And that's why we're here today, I know, to celebrate that. So here's what we're going to do. So there is no event ever in the history of humanity that demonstrates the power of God more than the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus' victory over death, and it really was a... Sometimes I think that as we think about Easter and we think about the resurrection, we even think about the crucifixion of Jesus, we can kind of sort of spiritualize these events so much to the point that we forget they were actual historical events. So that's what we're going to do today. Let's pray together as we get ready for this, and then we'll dismiss the kids to go to class. Father God, we love you this morning. We're so thankful for the chance to celebrate together Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. And we're so thankful that we get to experience this new resurrection life in us as well. Thank you for bringing us all together here today in this place, that we may worship you and honor you through what we do. Amen. Okay, kids, you're dismissed. Match your colored wristbands with the colored sign in the back. You guys can go to class. So Jesus, what I'm going to do, let me just say this. What I want to do this morning is kind of give us a two-part message, okay? The first part is going to be on the crucifixion, the death of Jesus, the event that happened that we typically call that Good Friday, right? It was good because not only Jesus died, but he died for our sins. And that's what makes it a good day. And then the second part will be on the resurrection of Jesus. Now, in between those two, we're going to take communion together. And so just kind of, if you want to get ready for that, we'll be talking about that in just a minute. When Jesus died on the cross, it's important for us to remember that he actually died. Okay, he actually died. His heart stopped beating, his brain shut down, his body became stiff, he was dead. It wasn't just an act, it wasn't just a just something that his disciples sort of made up. It was an actual physical death of Jesus. And that's important for us, as we talked about a couple weeks ago when we were talking about baptism. That's important for us because it represents something very important in our spiritual lives. It represents that when we as believers get to know Jesus, something in us also dies. And that's all the negative, the bad stuff in our life, the sin in our life also dies. And it has to die. There has to be a death before there can be a resurrection. And it's not popular to talk about death. It's not a happy thing to talk about death, but we need to understand that that had to happen in order for Jesus to be resurrected from the dead. So we celebrate the death of Jesus as much as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, and it is important. Okay, with that said, we know that Jesus' body died. They took him off the cross. They put him in a tomb. He stayed there from Friday afternoon to Sunday morning. And that's what we're going to be talking about as we go along today. What's the significance of all this, though? And I know, like, if you kind of grew up going to church, or if you've been a Christian for a while and you come, you've probably heard the story that we're going to be talking about today many, many times. And so sometimes it's easy for us when we hear a familiar story to just kind of tune out a little bit. I strongly encourage us not to do that. Let's hear it with fresh ears today. In the book of Revelation, it says, let's have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church today. So let's do that. If you're kind of new to God or coming back to God, or maybe this is maybe the first time you've ever been in a church, maybe that's you today. So glad you're here. Just open your ears, not just your physical ears, but the ears of your heart, if that makes any sense to you. Just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us today. That's my prayer for us. I was thinking about all this week, told a couple of people earlier today, I was thinking about Easter and really what does it mean? What does it mean to people anymore? Like when I was a kid, and that was a while ago, but you know, not too long ago, like when I was a kid, it seemed like most people went to church on Easter. That's the way it seemed to me, at least where I grew up. Maybe it wasn't like all, but it doesn't really seem like it's quite that same way anymore today. It doesn't seem like that. So I was just kind of wondering what Easter means to people, but I just want to talk about what it means to me and what it means to us as believers, and that's kind of what we're going to be focusing on today. I want to read just a couple of verses. We've already read the actual resurrection story from Luke, but I wanted to read just a couple other verses. I'm going to read a few as we go along this morning, but let me just start with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me read a couple of verses today. In fact, that whole chapter is about the resurrection in one way or another, but I just want to read a few verses from the beginning. It says, "Now I want to make clear for you, brothers and sisters, the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold to the message that I preached to you, unless you believed it in vain." Verse 3, "For I passed on to you as the most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." And that's the gospel. And did you notice how Paul introduced the gospel? He said, "I want to tell you the thing that's the most important thing, the thing that's of first importance. In fact, if you can believe all sorts of things, but if you don't believe this most important thing, then kind of everything else is secondary." And we all have our lists of things that are important for us to believe, and they're good lists, they're okay. But if we don't agree on this thing right here, that Jesus died, was buried, and that he rose again, then kind of everything else we believe doesn't make much sense. When Jesus died on the cross, he set a pattern for us, that something that's going to happen to us spiritually. And this truth should bring us great hope, should bring us incredible hope, because for those of us that believe what we just read, that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, for those that believe that, it should give us great hope. Knowing that because Jesus went to the grave, he conquered death, and he conquered it for us, for our benefit. Amen. And so that now we believe in Jesus and we no longer die. We're going to die physically, probably, but we're not going to die eternally. The most important thing. And that's great news for us. That's great news. Jesus' death, another thing to remember, it's important. Jesus' death was voluntary. What do I mean by that? It means that nobody made Jesus go to the cross. Okay? Jesus went there on his own. He determined to go to the cross. He and his Father in heaven, that was the plan for Jesus to go to the cross. You can kind of read through the stories in the Gospels, and sometimes if we just read it kind of with a human understanding, we can kind of think, well, all these bad things happen to Jesus, like he was betrayed by Judas, right? You remember that? One of his own disciples. One of the men that were actually the closest to Jesus betrayed him. That's one of the things that happened. You can also look at that and go, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, these guys that were super jealous of Jesus because he was kind of getting all the crowds, he was getting all the people, he was getting really popular and kind of taking away some of their popularity. They were, because of their jealousy, they kind of made this whole little extravagant plot in order to get Jesus arrested. We can kind of read that and we can go, well, that was, maybe that's the reason why Jesus had to go to the cross. We can read about how Pilate, Jesus went before Pilate, who was the Roman governor, and he was on trial, and he was tried as a criminal, even though he never did anything wrong. And we can kind of go, well, maybe that was the reason why he had to go to the cross. Or when he finally was on the cross, and these Roman soldiers, right before he went, these Roman soldiers grabbed him, and they whipped him, and they put a robe and a crown of thorns on his head, and they made fun of him, right? And then they just mocked him. And these big, strong Roman soldiers, maybe that's the reason why, because they just dragged him off and put him on the cross and took the nails and put them through his wrists and through his feet. And maybe Jesus didn't even have a choice. He couldn't resist big, strong Roman soldiers. Well, if we believe just that, if we believe that we see Jesus' death just as a result of sort of turning a bad situation into something good, we entirely miss the point of why Jesus went to the cross. It wasn't because of any of these human sort of things. It wasn't because somebody forced him to do it. Jesus did it voluntarily, okay? Jesus did it because that was his plan all along, he and his Father's plan all along, in order to bring eternal life to those of us who believe. There's a great verse here in John chapter 10. Jesus says this, "This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again." Listen, John 10:18, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again, because I have received this command from my Father." Here we have these great words. This is why Jesus went to the cross. He did it on his own voluntary initiative. He predicted his own death and his resurrection. And because Jesus lived, because he died, and because he was resurrected, he conquered death and he conquered sin. Here's a truth that's not popular, but it doesn't change the fact that it's a truth, right? We can't save ourselves from our own sin. We can't save ourselves from death. We just can't. We cannot do it. We don't have the power within us to do that. There's only one that could save us from sin and from death and from hell and from judgment, and that's Jesus. People, they kind of get down on Jesus for that. There's only one way. Why is there only one way? But we've talked about this before, but that's comforting. That there's one sure way. It's comforting. It should be. And it brings me comfort. Hopefully it brings you comfort and joy. to hear that, because Jesus lived sinlessly and he died in our place, he has brought about new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that Jesus took the punishment for sin and death for us. He took it on our behalf. And he did it while the Bible says, while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of Jesus, he took the penalty for us. It wasn't like we were like warmed up to Jesus and we were walking with him and we were friends with him and we were on, like, you know, we were kind to each other. And then he's like, okay, I'll die for my friend, right? No, Jesus did it while we were still enemies, while we still shook our fists at God, while we still pointed our fingers at God, while we're still angry at God. He loved us that much. Even when we didn't love him, he loved us. That's something to get excited about. Jesus won a victory for us, and it gives us great hope when we believe in this. God promises several places in the scriptures that for those that believe in Jesus, for those that he uses the word repent, mean turning away from our past sinful lifestyle and turning towards God, that those types of people will be saved. And you can be a 4-year-old or you can be a 90-year-old, it doesn't matter. Anyone who believes in your heart in the truth of the gospel, these verses we read in 1 Corinthians a minute ago, will be saved. It's a truth, it's a promise that we can hold on to. When we repent and believe in Jesus, by faith, we receive the gift of God's salvation. And let me just say this, and then we're gonna stop and take communion. But let me just say this. Here's some of the things, this is certainly not an exhaustive list, but here's some of the things that this gift includes. When we believe in Jesus and he gives us the gift of salvation, here's some of the things that this gift of salvation includes. Let me just read a few. Short list. Eternal life in heaven, forgiveness of sins through the death of Jesus on the cross. Here's another one. Adoption into God's family. Amazing. Here's a good one. The indwelling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the fact that we get to become part of the body of Christ. Again, just a short list. There's many, many more. So we're going to take time right now. We're going to kind of pause and respond to these things by taking communion. Let me just say this, that here's what communion is. It's simply remembering the death of Jesus. There's two elements to communion. There's a little piece of bread, a little wafer, a little cracker that we use, gluten-free, all right? Jesus loves gluten-free. All right, so we're going to take that little cracker, and that represents the body of Jesus, okay? It represents the body of Jesus. It has a spiritual significance for us as believers. It just represents what Jesus did when he died on the cross. And then the second element is a little cup of juice. We just use a little cup of grape juice. And it represents the blood of Jesus when he died on the cross. The scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. And so we just remember that when we take communion. Reflect upon his body and reflect upon his blood. So here's kind of the format of what we're going to do. Just so we all know, some people are going to pass this stuff out. They're going to bring you first the bread, okay? And when they're going to do that, then we're going to pause. And I'm going to read a scripture, and then we're going to take it together, remembering the death of Jesus. Okay, then they're going to pass out a little cup of juice. We're going to pause, read a scripture, and then we're going to drink that, remembering the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins, okay? So guys, chapter 22 says, and he, Jesus, took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it and he gave it to them. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Same way, Jesus also took the cup after supper and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins, including all of us who believe here today, all these years later. He said, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And Jesus, we thank you for your death on the cross. We celebrate it not because we want to celebrate death, but because we want to celebrate the forgiveness of our sins. We're so thankful. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much, for sending your Son Jesus for us. Amen. Amen. So one of the most important truths for us, obviously, is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And we've just celebrated that. And it is essential. It's super important. But listen, suppose that Jesus, having died on the cross, had stayed dead. Would it matter? Would it matter to us? We would still have his example, and we would still have his teachings, and we would still have his memory. We would still have his death. And wouldn't that be enough? Well, we would think so. Just kind of off the top of our heads, it kind of makes sense that when Jesus still did die for us, he still died for our sins, and that certainly needed to happen. But listen to a couple of scriptures here that shows us that was not enough. Okay, that Jesus' death on the cross was not enough. There needed to be something further than that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a little bit later on that we just read, in verse 17, it says that if Christ had not been raised, our faith is worthless. Let that sink in. If Christ had not been raised, our faith is worthless, and we were still in our sins. It's not something we think about maybe often. We talk about the crucifixion a lot throughout the year, and rightly so, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And we celebrate communion throughout the year, and when we do baptisms, and we kind of celebrate it again, and yet we don't often reflect on this right here, that if Jesus had stayed dead, we would also have been dead. We would have no hope to also have life. Our faith would be worthless. It's a sobering thought to me, but it's an amazing one. Here's a couple other things that if Jesus had remained dead, here's a couple other things that would also be true. Not only would our faith be worthless, as we just read, but here's another one, that if Jesus did not raise from the dead, then there would be no hope for us rising again either. Okay? So we would then have to expect that we would just stay dead too. That when we died, that would be it. That would be it. We would just stay dead. We would just stay in the grave. Our bodies would decompose, and that would be it. That would be the end of our existence. Here's another one. If Jesus had not risen, then he is not right now reigning in heaven, and he will not someday return as he promised. And then this life is all that there is. And I'll be honest, there's a lot of people that live like that, that's true, that this life is all there is. And it's not a new thing, okay? That's been happening ever since there have been people, that this life is all there is. Here's another one. Here's a fourth one, that if Jesus had not risen, if he's not alive, then Christianity, according to this book and according to what the first disciples thought it was, is a lie. It's a complete lie. It's completely made up. That fellowship with Jesus is impossible, because if Jesus is not alive, then all we're doing is kind of worshiping a dead God. And that's not what, as Christians, we claim to worship. We claim to worship a living God who gave us a living book and gave us a living spirit that is inside of us. And so the Jesus that we read about in the Bible, then he can be our hero, right? He can be a good moral teacher that we can look up to, but he could never be our Savior if he didn't rise from the dead. But listen, he did rise from the dead. Okay, he did rise from the dead, and so he is alive, and so that all the things that the Scripture says about him are true, and because he is alive, we will be alive too. And it is faith, but it's not just faith that we believe this. The evidence backs this up, that everything that happened in the Scriptures according to what they say about Jesus actually happening, not only does faith back that up, but evidence backs it up. There's a great book, if you've never read, it's kind of like an apologetics book. It's called The Case for Christ. Anybody ever heard of that? Lee Strobel. If you might want to check it out someday. He's a guy that used to be an atheist, and he started looking into the Bible, similar to C.S. Lewis. He started looking into the Scriptures in order to prove them wrong. Like, he was a scientist, I'm going to get in there, and I'm going to prove all these Christians, they're just being silly, this can't be true. And then guess what? As he began to try to prove it wrong, he proved it right, and God proved it right to him, and he got saved, and now he's this great apologist meaning a defender of the Christian faith. Good little book, The Case for Christ. In that book, he gives all these evidences. He approaches it like, remember that old TV show CSI? Is that even still on? I don't know. Like how they would go and investigate a scene, right? And they would look at all the evidence, right? And that's kind of how he did it. He actually says that. He looks at it like a forensics person. And he goes in and he begins to dissect the Scriptures. And he found that it was true. And all the evidence backs this up. It was a historical event. Like I've said this before, it's kind of funny. You know, if we could travel back in time, right, jump in our DeLorean, and we could go back to AD 30-something, we could see this event happening. We could see it with our eyes. If we could just kind of observe it, right, we would see Jesus dying on the cross because it happened, and we would see him. We would see, you know, like the time where everyone was crying. Oh, I can't believe Jesus is gone. I can't believe he's gone. And then we could see that day, if we were there at the tomb, we would see the angel come down. We would see the stone rolled away, and we would see Jesus walk out of the tomb. And we could view it with our eyes because it was an actual event. So what's the significance? Let's just kind of wrap this up here. What's the significance for us today of Jesus rising from the dead? Now, let me just read four verses and give us four reasons why it's important for us still today, all these years later. Number one, what's the significance of Jesus rising from the dead? Well, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 4, it showed that Jesus was and is the Son of God. That's right, Trent. Let me read that verse. Jesus was appointed to be the powerful Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Number two, what's the significance? Well, it demonstrates that Jesus has victory over death, something we've been talking about this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 24 says, God raised him up, ending the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by death. Did you hear that with your ear? It's not possible for him to be held by death. Death wanted to hold him, right? The devil wanted to hold him, and it wasn't possible. Jesus broke through it. He's too powerful to be held by death. Amen. Amen. That's something to get excited about. Number three, it guaranteed the believer's forgiveness and justification. That's a big, long Bible word. Let me tell you what it means. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says, he was handed over to die because of our sins, And he was raised to life. He was resurrected to make us right with God. Justified to be made right with God. And number four, the significance for us is that it guarantees our future resurrection from the dead. Unless Jesus comes back again, or unless, you know, like one of us is so special to him that he just takes us without, most likely everyone in this room is going to die. Okay, someday. We're going to die someday. But that's not the end of it. It's not the end of it for us. This is just, Pastor Dave says this all the time. He says, this is just a tent we live in, right? And someday this tent is going to wither and it's going to get holes and it's going to fall apart and we're going to die. But if we believe in Jesus and if we believe that his resurrection guarantees our resurrection, then that's not the end of it for us. That's just the beginning for us. That the real life will start the moment that this life is over. And we gotta change our thinking to get to that place, I think. So the resurrection of Jesus is the most hopeful event that ever happened. And along with his death on the cross, it provided the way for us to have eternal life. One more scripture. Jesus said, I read this just a few weeks ago when we were going through our I Am series, but it's good enough. It's good enough. We'll read it again. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He's talking to Martha. Her brother Lazarus just died. She's really sad. She's grieving. She's super sorrowful over his death. And Jesus looks at her and he says, I am the resurrection and the life, Martha. He says, the one who believes in me, even if they die, they will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And he looked at her right in the face and he said, do you believe this? Martha, do you believe this? And Jesus' question to her is his question to us all these years later. Do we believe this? Do we believe because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, when we believe in him, we will not die, but we will live forever? Do we believe this? If you do believe this, then you can be confident that everything we've been talking about today is yours. You possess it. It's guaranteed that your sins are completely forgiven, that someday you will go to heaven to be with Jesus forever. In the meantime, he's filled you with his Holy Spirit. He's given us the scripture. He's brought us to be part of his body, the church. And all the other things that we've been talking about are all true for all of us when we believe in Jesus. Now listen, if you're not sure you believe this, if you can't, you know, say, yeah, 100% sure, if you're unsure in any way that you're coming to God and you're seeking out something, maybe you want, and you just don't know. You just don't know what you believe about this yet. I would encourage you to not leave today without talking to somebody about it. Don't walk out the door with your eternity up in the air, because you just don't know. You just don't know what can happen when you get out there and walk out that door. The most important decision that any of us will ever make is the decision to believe in Jesus. And if you're not sure, I mean, if you just can't say, I have some questions, it's okay. God likes questions. He's not scared of questions. If you got some questions, talk to somebody. You can talk to me. Find somebody else here that you know, maybe feel comfortable. Ask them your questions. Pray about it. And don't leave today kind of without your eternal life kind of hanging in the balance. Let's not do that. Because I want you to have the same confidence that I have as I stand here, and the same joy that I have and the same hope that I have. That if I go out there and get hit by a car, I'm on my way to start my new life, start my real life. I believe that. I know it's true. And I want you to be sure of that as well. That's all. All right, let's pray together, and then, if you want to talk or pray with somebody, there'll be some people over here in this section of the church, and if you guys would like to pray with somebody, if you have any questions, you want to talk with somebody about anything that we've been talking about today, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, what communion means, anything like that, there'll be people over here who would love to talk and pray with you. And if not, if you are like, I'm all in with this Jesus thing, I love him and I know it, and I'm going to heaven, great. Get out and just share that hope with somebody else today. Let's do that. And then enjoy the lunch and enjoy the Easter egg hunts. We're having tri-tip. So it's marinating right now. Can't wait for that. And so we're going to enjoy that. Have a fun day out there as well. So let's pray. Father, we just love you, and we know that you're not a God, you're not just super serious all the time, and you just want us to, all you want us to do is just to be sorry and sad all the time. No, you want us to, you're a God that wants us to celebrate. You've given us plenty of reasons to celebrate, and all the things we've been talking about today are some of those reasons, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and that he came alive again, and he's given us new life and a living hope we sang about, and he's given us a living word, and he's given us a living spirit in us, and we've been given spiritual gifts and spiritual fruit and all these great truths that we believe in, and you mean for us to celebrate that, not just to hold on to it or keep it to ourselves, but you want us to live like we actually believe it, and so I pray that you'll help us to do that, and so that we talk to people and see people and have conversations with people, that they'll just see a little something different in us, and little love. They'll see some love and kindness and compassion in us, because that all comes from you and from your Spirit. And we thank you for those things. And we pray that if there's anybody here this morning, my heart just desires, Father, that everyone here believes in you with 100% confidence. And if there's anyone here, even one person, or even any of those kids that are over there in the next room, even one that does not believe yet in Jesus and can't say that for sure, that I just pray, God, you'll soften heart today and allow your truth to just become real and become a reality in their lives today. And for the rest of us and for all of us here today, let us celebrate and enjoy this day that you set before us, because, Jesus, you are not dead. You are alive. You have risen, and we celebrate that, and we glorify you because of that, and we're so honored to be part of your family. Amen.